Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at justaskvi. That's vi.com.
Between prepping ingredients, setting the table, and planning your tomorrow, sometimes you need an extra hand with dinner. Delta Faucet is here to help. Just ask your connected home device to fill your pasta pot with Delta Faucet Voice IQ technology and fill it with the perfect amount of water. Done. Visit deltafaucet.com/voiceiq to see how Voice IQ can fill your dog's bowl, wash your hands, and more.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Brett Jensen sitting in for Bo Thompson here on the Governor Pat McCrory Show. And by the way, you know, people know me as a reporter and a journalist and everything. Later on, I'm going to interview Pat McCrory about the media and hold his feet to the fire.
There's no way you could hold my feet to the fire. I've learned the art of diversion.
I tell you what, that's an actual skill. People don't realize that. That is an actual skill.
Well, that's the definition of politics, is the art of diversion. And boy, do we have a lot of diversion and blame game going on right now with this, who's handling the virus and how they handle the virus, and everyone CYA, from the president to the governor to the mayors to the media. You know, we're getting into the blame game now that this virus did not burn out during the summer. And you can't explain why bars are open and strip clubs are open, and yet other things have to close down after 11. I mean, it's just the inconsistency of these rules. And talking about inconsistency, the RNC convention. Wow.
What were your thoughts last night, Governor, as word started to break late yesterday afternoon, early evening, that Jacksonville was no longer going to be an option? What were some of the first things that popped through your head?
I wasn't surprised. In fact, I think it's a smart move of Trump to bail out now before he has to bail out a week before. I know all the headlines are saying Trump abruptly pulls out of Jacksonville. I don't know if it was that abrupt. I think they've been having meetings on this for weeks and seeing that not only was the Charlotte convention falling apart, but so was the Jacksonville. And when they moved it to Jacksonville, they were just setting themselves up for failure on, you know, the hot weather, the stadium, whether do inside or outside, how to raise the money, not knowing that the Charlotte committee could keep their money. It's just been a total cluster, and I will not use the word after that or I'd be kicked off the radio. But it's no surprise. The Democrats don't want any rally because they want to hide Biden. And the media wasn't going to cover them much in Jacksonville. The good news is Charlotte's going to have a convention of about 1,000 people, which is kind of like a typical Westin hotel convention that we used to have pre-virus, you know, several times a week. So we'll have a little bit of media come, but not much. The media won't care about this, but hopefully a few hotel rooms will be filled up. But we've got to now worry about security a little bit, and it's going to be interesting where the Republicans get the money now to even hold a 1,000-person convention in, I guess, the Westin and maybe parts of the convention center, and that's about it. And will Governor Cooper allow more than 10 people to meet in a room, which he's not allowing right now? I think he's making some exceptions to that, i.e. the Carolina Panthers are practicing right now in a bubble, and it's inside, and it's more than 10 people. So Governor Cooper might have to come back and go, Yeah, you can meet with more than 10 people, or the delegates can wear Panther uniforms and pretend they're practicing.
That's actually pretty funny.
Funny. That's it. That's all you get is pretty funny. It's the problem. It's true. That's the problem. That's why it's funny.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, we should mention that Florida, you know, we've had, you know, a massive surge in Florida. The other day on July 12th, they had over 15,000 people test positive. You know, 14,000, they are having a streak of about 10,000 to 15,000 every single day test positive. And you even had the sheriff and the mayor down in Jacksonville just saying, hey, look, it's not safe. But here, Governor, they're going, look, we're already having some people come the first day, as you just mentioned. And Trump even mentioned Charlotte last night as a possibility of having more things here.
Well, there's not much to do here. They're going to have maybe 1,000 people here at most, whether Trump wants to or not. And they're probably going to be lucky to have that. This will probably help the airlines a little bit. But, you know, you wonder if people from California will come. And but the inconsistent rules in North Carolina, you know, the bars are having far more than 10 people under a roof. The hotels can't. You know, the strip clubs are still open, and yet you can't have 10 people in a ballroom. The inconsistencies of the rules coming out of Raleigh in our county are unbelievable. And we'll talk about schools later on in the next 2 hours and unemployment and some of the new rules coming out of Raleigh.
This is the Pat McCrory Show with Bo Thompson on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WPT.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Brett Jensen here filling in for Bo Thompson on the Governor Pat McCrory Show.
Well, I was watching the news last night, and I watched the health expert of the world, Mr. Fauci. Is that his name?
Yep, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Anthony Fauci throw out the first baseball. Thank God there were no fans in the stands.
It did not go well. As a matter of fact, here's a little bit of what it sounded like last night.
Baseball 2020, we get a real good feel for it tonight. And now one of the more well-known Washington National fans, Dr. Anthony Fauci, to throw out the first pitch.
And unfortunately, that first pitch did not go very well last night. It was wide left and about 15 feet short of home plate, and it rolled all the way to the backstop. And Governor, you know, he's in these type of public situations because he's now a celebrity. Did you do anything like that as a mayor or a governor? Were you asked to do things like that?
Listen, Fauci's got the bug. He's liking the stage too much, and he should have never gone out to the baseball field. Thank God there were no fans. You notice they didn't even do the fake applause. It wasn't a throw. It's like he had never thrown a ball in his life. And to take that invitation with knowing you can't throw a baseball, because it is hard. I've done the first pitch before, and it is hard. George Bush did it the best. By the way, Donald Trump wants to do it soon. And I'm going, please don't do it, Mr. President. And but Fauci's got the celebrity bug, and I've had it many times before. When you get out of your arena, when you become a celebrity in your own arena, and he's a celebrity in the medical field, now he thinks he's a bigger celebrity. And people will take advantage of that, and you start believing it. And yeah, I'll never forget. I've caught the bug so many times before. Brett, one time when I was mayor, I was asked to ride a horse in the old arena to open up the circus.
Oh no!
And I went, oh, this will be so much fun. It'll be in front of 9,000 people. I've ridden the horse before. And I remember the late Boyd Cobble, who sadly passed away just a couple of weeks ago, said, Mayor, do you sure you want to do that? Oh, yeah, Boyd. Man, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. This is great. So I got on the horse, and within 2 feet, the horse started rearing like the Lone Ranger's horse. And rearing and rearing. I'm hanging on for my life, and finally I fall down. And the horse falls down, misses me by about 2 inches. And I would have gotten killed. And I got hurt, by the way, but I got up and pretended I wasn't hurt. And I was doing something I should have never done, but the celebrity bug got me. And Boyd Cobble was right. Mayor, you shouldn't have done that. And by the way, it turns out the horse they put me on had never had anyone on it before. It was the wagon horse.
Oh.
And they didn't realize that. You know, the horse that pulls wagons?
Yeah.
So I was the first person ever on that horse.
You were on a bucking Bronco.
I was on a bucking Bronco. And I, by the way, I held on for about 4 seconds. But
well, to qualify in the rodeo,
there's a video of
on,
that yeah. somewhere. But well. it just proves, it proves that politicians, anyone on the stage, celebrities, members of the media, they start believing their own celebrity. It's a terrible bug. It's a terrible virus. And there's no shot for it. Except you need a good chief of staff or advisor around you and go, hey, do you really want to do that like Boyd Cobble did? Boyd, I think about you every day when you gave me such good advice. So you know what we're going to do next?
What's that?
We're going to talk about, we're going to do a McCrory Top 5. The five current politicians that are starting to love celebrity and the stage a little too much. And by the way, I'm in the Hall of Fame.
By the way, I'm curious, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to be careful with these. I mean, some people say the reason Mike Dukakis lost to Bush is because he was pictured in that commercial riding around in a tank with those goofy headsets.
A perfect time. You know, he put on a helmet, and that picture killed him. You know, John F. Kennedy had a rule. You know, John F. Kennedy was cool. And John F. Kennedy had a rule that he would never put on a hat during a ceremony. And a lot of times as mayor and governor, you're asked to put on some sort of headdress. And one time they tried to put feathers on top of John F. Kennedy's head at an Indian celebration. And John Kennedy said, no, you're not going to put a hat on me. In fact, the only time he wore a hat was briefly a top hat during his inauguration. And most pictures have him with it off. He understood that if you overplay celebrity, you get hurt. You get hurt. And that's a perfect example you told of Michael Dukakis with the, you know, someone said, wouldn't it be great if you ride in a tank?
Well, yeah, thank God.
And I said, yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great. I'll get in a tank. And next thing you know, they're putting this helmet on you. You know, Bush did the same thing with the uniform when he flew a plane and he got out, mission accomplished. And by the plane, the shot of him in the uniform, well, that's a whole nother story of how the uniform fit on him. But, you know, he probably went, that's good. He didn't have an advisor say, you know, Mr. President, maybe you shouldn't put on a uniform.
Well, thankfully, there was no social media when you fell off the horse back then and no camera phones.
I think there is a video of that somewhere. So we're going to talk in a McCrory Top 5, the top five current politicians that are loving celebrity and the stage a little too much.
This is the Pat McCrory Show with Bo Thompson on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WPT.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Brett Jensen sitting in for Bo Thompson, who will return next week. So I appreciate Bo and the governor allowing me to sit in this prestigious chair. I really do appreciate
it. Well, Brett, we got the McCrory Top 5. You know, we watch Anthony Fauci, America's doctor. He's loving celebrity a little too much, and he threw a baseball out last night. And it was obvious he couldn't throw a baseball. But he couldn't get off the stage, even a stage that he wasn't familiar with. And so I thought about this. I told the story of how I rode a horse one time in front of the circus, right?
Right.
It was the stupidest thing I've ever done. Well, at least in my top 10. And the horse threw me off. So I thought about this. The five current politicians that love celebrity and the stage a little too much. And by the way, after me riding the horse, I might be in the Hall of Fame in this category. So I'll be consistently bipartisan and fair, where I include myself. But we'll go to number five.
He's a real nowhere man.
Yep, it's sitting our nowhere man, Governor Roy Cooper, a man determined. Who used to hate the stage. He used to hate the stage. And now all of a sudden he's giving press conferences every week, even when he has nothing to announce. And then when he has nothing to announce, he teases an announcement for the future as long as no one can ask him a question live. And he's starting to like it. But the dilemma is he's loving the stage so much that people are starting to realize he's a nowhere man and he has nothing to say. And that may give Dan Forrest a chance to beat him. So Roy Cooper, number five. Number four. Oh. This song fits this individual. I actually have a tie for number four. They're two members of the Washington House of Representatives, the U.S. House of Representatives, and they're kind of alike that they both love the stage so much that they're going to overplay their celebrity. Adam Schiff and AOC. Adam Schiff and AOC. Do I need to say anything else?
That's a mouthful right there.
They're loving determined. The stage. All right, number three. Number three.
A well-oiled machine.
Number three. Oh, this individual, the most powerful woman in the United States of America. No, I'm not talking Madonna. She's a has-been, and she's too young. The most powerful woman in the world is Nancy Pelosi. She's loving the stage so much that she tries to take the stage away from Donald Trump during the State of the Union. And what'd she do, Brett?
Ripped
at
up
the end
those
of the
notes.
Speech, what'd she do?
She ripped up those notes. The
she
speech.
Ripped up the notes. She wanted to take the stage away from Donald Trump. And then later on, she kneels for Black Lives Matter. And after she kneels, she can't get up. You see, she's liking celebrity a little too much. Kind of like Madonna. It catches up to you sooner or later. Number two.
Oh, wait. Number two?
Number two. Number two. Let's see. Who could be number two? He's running for president right now. And he used to be the vice president. And he's always loved the stage. Even he was on the stage with me one time. And he completely lost it. And he turned to me and said, "Hey, man, why aren't you looking at me? Why aren't you smiling? You haven't smiled at me one damn time." And then he proceeded with his 30-minute, 35-minute boring speech in which all the audience was asleep. He needs to get off the stage. The Eggman needs to get off the stage if he wants to win this election. And that is Joe Biden. He's wanting to come out of the basement. Even Barack Obama is begging him, "Don't get on the stage." But he loves it too much. Number one, we've got a tie.
Number one,
Governor of New York. Number one, the Governor of New York. Yes, he was in The Godfather. He's the son of The Godfather. He's Al Pacino. His dad was The Godfather. Yes, he is Andrew Cuomo. Not his brother, but the Andrew Cuomo, the governor. He wants to tell us everything and anything about how much he knows about the virus, things that we can read about in the newspaper, but he cannot get off the stage. Andrew Cuomo, and of course, number one, to be bipartisan, the number one guy that can't get off the stage because he's liking a little bit too much. I hate to say it, but he's my president, and I want him to be reelected, but he's got to get off the stage occasionally, let Joe Biden take over the number one position if he wants to be president for a second term. Donald Trump, do not go out and throw out the first baseball next week, as I heard you say on Hannity. Don't do it. You have nothing to gain. You have
number
nothing
one.
To gain. George Bush did it right. You can't top it. Don't do it.
That's exactly right. All right, so that's Governor McCrory's top five. What about the big Black Lives Matter sign going up in with the Boston Red Sox on Fenway Park? We'll talk about that.
See, that could be a problem, too. If he throws out the first baseball, Donald Trump, he could have a big Black Lives Matter sign behind him. That's going to be awkward.
This is the Pat McCrory Show with Bo Thompson on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WPT.
Pat McCrory Show here on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Brett Jensen filling in for Bo Thompson. He will return next week. And, Governor, I'm telling you what, there's been a lot of sports news locally and nationally, especially what's going on up in Boston. They just put a 250-foot Black Lives Matter sign on the outside of Fenway Park.
See, that's the dilemma. It's not anything to do with sports. Has to do with politics. And the term Black Lives Matter, I empathize with that term. I understand the term after the terrible incident in Minnesota and other incidences throughout the United States. But the organization of Black Lives Matter is a radical Marxist organization that is encouraging violent protests and destruction of property, and they are attacking our police officers and our federal and state and local government buildings and officials, including the mayor of Portland, including the mayor of Seattle, who are on their side, supposedly, but no one's on the side of anarchists, and these anarchists are being now celebrated right behind the green wall of one of the greatest baseball stadiums in it is the greatest baseball stadium in the United States of America. I've been there several times, and it's a sad commentary. Wait till they put Black Lives Matter on the Carolina basketball court in Chapel Hill in place of the Tar Heels. I wonder, will the liberals finally stand up and go, this is kind of getting ridiculous? It's just ridiculous. And again, I understand the term Black Lives Matter, but the organization is wrong. And plus, the organization, Brett, they don't give a damn about all black lives. Because if they did, they'd be protesting right now on Beatty's Ford Road, where the killers of four black individuals are still at large in Charlotte and not one witness. So don't get me on this bandwagon on how sports is trying to have a social conscience, because they're being totally hypocritical. And they're also not talking about China, of course. While they wear Nike tennis shoes made in China and sold in China, and they don't care about the China protesters. So, sadly, there aren't a lot of sports to talk about, except for Anthony Fauci.
Fauci.
Whatever.
Well, I will say this. As many know, I was a sports reporter for about 20-something years.
And you played baseball.
Yes. And I will tell you this. It's ironic, and I use that term accurately, ironic that it's the Boston Red Sox doing this, considering Boston is considered one of the most racist cities in America. Boston Red Sox were the last baseball team to actually have a black player. And so
it's white owners trying to be politically correct. And it looks foolish. It looks foolish. You know, the white liberals are the ones causing all the destruction. It's almost no African American. Most African Americans are peacefully protesting, except for the criminals who did the thing up at Beatty's Ford Road, which was a block party. But most of the violent protesters are the white sons and daughters of rich people who are mad at their parents for making them go to private schools. The hypocrisy of it all.
Well,
and I'm calling out the hypocrisy. I don't care about the retribution.
Well, what do you think about it was deemed, I believe it was last night, that the Washington Redskins are no longer the Washington Redskins. Their official name until further notice is the Washington Football Team.
The Washington Football Team. What's the logo on the Washington Football Team? A football?
You know what? That's a great point. It might be. It might even be like the Cleveland Browns, where there is no logo.
Yeah, that was actually named after the owner
Paul Brown.
Cleveland Browns, Paul Brown, who was the coach, too. God, poor Ron Rivera. Okay, let's go, football team. Can you see him in the locker room? Instead of let's go, Redskins, let's go, football team. This is almost as bad as the new name of the soccer club here in Charlotte. which some consultant recommended, that according to the owner, it gives us the feel of Charlotte. What's the new name of the soccer team in Charlotte?
Charlotte FC, and I feel like I have to explain what FC stands for. FC stands for football club, because that's what they call it in Europe, and so a lot of your European teams are Manchester FC, Manchester Football Club, you know, Liverpool Football Club, right. So they wanted to stay traditional and keep Charlotte FC.
Charlotte FC. Well, at least it's not Charlotte FU. Oh, gosh. My last day in radio again. But they announced FC as though this is what the people of Charlotte represent. Charlotte. I love the way it's kind of like these artists who, you know, do public art. They announce, you know, you look at the art. I remember they did one art exhibit along the light rail line that we wasted our money on, and they tried to explain what it was. Anytime you have to explain what it was, you've lost.
Yeah, sort of like jokes. If you have to explain the joke, it's not funny.
Yeah, I have to do that a lot during my radio show. But it's just the Charlotte Football Club.
It's
and
traditional.
Then there's the Washington Football Team.
Yep.
The Washington Football Team. You know, I had a rule when I was mayor, when they'd bring art to me to accept, you know, they'd go, "Mayor, what do you think of this art that we're going to, you know, do?" Because 1% of all capital projects are reserved for art or something. And I had two rules. I said, if you have to be high to understand it, we're not going to pay for it. And number two, if a second grader can do it, we're not going to pay for it either.
Oh, so you wouldn't have taken my art. Okay.
But you think, see, the same thing should apply to these naming. And I'll tell you, most likely they hired a consultant to name both the Charlotte soccer team and the Washington football team.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, though, there are a lot of people that are actually a lot of soccer purists who are very happy with Charlotte FC.
That's good.
Yep.
That's good.
All right, so when we come back.
For the non-soccer purist, you're going, what's that mean?
Right. That's true. That's why I feel like I have to explain it. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Governor McCrory about this new restaurant ban that's been put in place. We've got a lot of other things to talk about, including Governor Cooper's unemployment insurance policy that he's looking into. So we're going to a lot of things that we're going to talk about.
All right. Second fastest hour in Carolina's radio.
Welcome to hour number two of the Pat McCrory Show here on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. I am Brett Jensen, sitting in for Bo Thompson, who will be back next week. And you are listening to part of the most listened to morning shows in Charlotte. And this is right here on the Governor Pat McCrory Show. By the way, don't forget, yes, just because Bo's not here doesn't mean we're not having the big finish. We are totally having the big finish. So we want to hear your thoughts at 704-374-3800. And as the governor always says, we will only use the good ones.
I'll tell you, speaking of good ones, we're trying to figure out some good policy regarding this virus, because what we're seeing is very inconsistent policies coming, frankly, from the federal government, the governor's office, and here now in the county about closing bars at, what, 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock, yep.
No viruses can occur before 11 o'clock, apparently, only after 11.
Well, and not just that you will no longer be allowed to sit at the bar to even eat dinner, even if you're drinking water. That is a big thing that's going to hurt a lot of businesses.
You know, the dilemma with people making these decisions is none of them have run a business before. And if you notice that all the government leaders making decisions, they haven't cut the pay of any government employees, including their own, while they're cutting the pay through their policies of a lot of entrepreneurs. Not one government salary has been reduced that I'm aware of in the state of North Carolina, city of Charlotte, or county government. Everyone's kept their job. Salaries remain the same, even though the revenue coming in is far less. And no one is talking about the deficit that's being built up due to the private sector being shut down. And, you know, we're talking about it on this show, but no one else is talking about it. Republicans, Democrats, the governor, the mayor, the county chairman, and it's going to be a mess, let me tell you. And, you know, a lot of bars and a lot of restaurants aren't going to survive. You know what was ironic? We said this yesterday. The strip clubs have been open all along.
Yeah, I don't know anything about
strip
clubs.
Are they allowed to sit down? I mean, tell me, What's it like, Brett?
you're talking to the wrong person.
Okay, I'll let you bail out.
I didn't even know there were strip bars in Charlotte. I'm sorry. I didn't even know that was a thing.
The truth meter is coming up any minute on the Pat McCrory Show. Speaking of that, I'll tell you, the governor now is, you know, he's basically making it hard to open up any schools in person, although the private schools are almost all opening up.
And the private schools are going to do athletics. And I should say this real quick, Governor, that Cabarrus County voted yesterday 4-3 to make all schools virtual in Cabarrus County. And they are a fraction of what Mecklenburg County is in terms of cases.
And they don't understand the poor people are the ones hurt most by this, especially the two-income families or the single mothers that have to work. And now to try to solve that problem that Governor Cooper helped create that policy and emphasize that policy, is Governor Cooper is now saying, well, we'll pay unemployment compensation to, say, a working mother who has to stay home to take care of her child. You know, it sounds great, but there's two problems with it. Actually, there are three problems with it. One is Governor Cooper doesn't have the authority to do that. I mean, he's becoming a dictator. He's not only loving celebrity, he's loving power. He has to get the legislature to approve that. And the second problem is there's no money to do it. When I became governor in 2012, the biggest shock I learned, because no one knew it, was we had a $2.2 billion deficit to the federal government and unemployment that Governor Perdue had left me. And people were spending unemployment compensation like it was candy. It's not free money. There's going to be debt related to this. So I spent 4 years rebuilding that fund, got it up to $3 billion, and now that money's going to be blown. And Governor Cooper, right before an election's like, oh, don't worry about it. We'll give unemployment money to anybody and everybody, including parents who have to stay home from work. But then they're put in a terrible position. Do they quit their job, which will be refilled by someone else, to come home? I tell you, I think Cabarrus County and Mecklenburg County are making a serious mistake. I like what the governor of South Carolina is saying. Let the parents decide and have schools give an option either way.
Well,
we're hurting poor. Velma Leak and I agree right now.
Yeah, whoever thought that statement would be
said. No, I didn't. Don't get that on tape. It could hurt me in a Republican primary if I ever run for office again. Leak is right. Poor people are being punished through this policy right now. And poor people, by the way, are in smaller homes, multifamily apartments, where they're more likely to get the disease at home than they will at school.
So a proposed rule change by the governor would open unemployment benefits to parents affected by remote learning for up to 270 days and to any workers.
He doesn't have that authority. Where is the North Carolina legislators, the Supreme Court? Because this is not in the Constitution. I've held that job before. You can't just say you're going to do that without legislation.
And the benefits would also go to any workers who reasonably believe that they aren't safe from the virus at their jobs.
Is anyone going to ask where the money's coming from? He doesn't have that authority. And I'd say that to the Republicans. Sometimes Trump has said some things where he doesn't have the authority either. Cooper is just, he's starting to love the power. And maybe it's because he knows he has the Supreme Court in his pocket. But it's very dangerous to whoever his successor is, either next year or 4 years from now.
All right, coming up next, we got another top five from Governor McCrory. And then I'm going to hold his feet to the fire and grill him like nobody's business.
No way.
And then we got the big finish. So we got a lot of things coming up.
This is the Pat McCrory Show with Bo Thompson on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WPT.
The Pat McCrory Show here on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Brett Jensen filling in for Bo Thompson.
Hey, real quick.
He will be back next week. Yes, sir.
Real quick, I got to remember this. I want to congratulate Bob Lacey and Sherry Lynch for being nominated to the Hall of Fame for radio. Both have been a long time friends of mine, and Bob Lacey and I played golf for 30 years together, and he deserves it, and I just think it's fantastic that he was nominated. So my thoughts and congratulations to Bob Lacey and Sherry Lynch.
Absolutely. Both of them were part of my podcast, and I can tell you Sherry Lynch was literally a pioneer for females in the world of radio.
And Bob was the one who recruited her.
Yeah, absolutely. And she had made no radio
equal
experience.
And made it equal pay.
Yep. Absolutely. So congratulations. You're 100% right about that. Real quick, don't forget, next segment we've got coming up is the big finish to get in, 704-374-3800. All right, now it's that time where I am just going to grill the governor. As a reporter, I have never shied away. I'll tell you a quick rule. I never call a coach my coach. I always call them by their first name because A, they were never my coach, and B, they didn't earn some special degree to get that title like a doctor. So,
excuse me, I have an honorary doctorate degree.
Do you want me to call you?
See, I've already got you flustered.
You actually do. That was kind of funny. All right,
Dr. Patrick Lloyd McCrory, you can refer me to, or Your Excellency, one or the other.
Or Your Highness, that's right. All right, so Governor, so it has been almost exactly 4 months since Governor Cooper has allowed me and his people have allowed me to ask a question during his press conferences or even Mandy Cohen's press conferences. So, first question to you, and by the way, people should know.
Are these questions you would have asked Cooper?
No, these are questions that I actually want to ask you. The thing is, Governor McCrory here literally has no idea what I'm going to ask. Nope. That is the honest to God's truth.
Nope.
All right, so question number one. What is, because obviously Governor Cooper thinks I'm doing something unfair or this station is or whatever. So what's the most unfairly you were ever treated by the media?
Probably WREL in Raleigh. The owner of WREL in Raleigh is actually a big donor to all the groups that protest in front of the mansion. And so they have a conflict of interest, and it's the most powerful station in North Carolina. And what they do is coordinate liberal protest against me, get 10 minutes of publicity, and then they would cover the protests that they help pay for. And what the news didn't tell is that the protesters left as soon as 6 o'clock. They left at 6:10. They'd come at 5 till 6, leave at 6:10, so all these... The viewer got a lot of bad information, and the protesters got too much publicity.
Was there ever a reporter that you refused to speak to or answer a question from?
No. And the reporters would always ask me follow. I had a lot of reporters that treated me the same way they treat President Trump during his press conference, where they'd interrupt me, were very disrespectful, and gave their opinion in their questions. You never saw that with Obama, and you don't see that with Governor Cooper at this point in time. And that shows the bias of the media.
Did you, even while you were mayor, or someone from your staff, mayor or governor, ever call a news organization, be it a newspaper, a radio station, or a television station, and say, that is 100% just flatly wrong?
About every day. Especially the headlines. The headlines is where the media is worse, because the headlines are often inaccurate, and they do it to get clips. And the example was, I think there were some headlines saying I was under FBI investigation. I was never under FBI investigation. And it's one of those things that are hard to deny, because the FBI does not tell you who's under investigation, who is not. But the headlines are like, McCrory says he's not under FBI investigation. And you're going, well, that you're guilty. You know, you have to prove your innocence. And it just shows the bias. The McClatchy newspaper was the worst. AP was a close second. And WREL was number three, probably, in very, very liberally biased headlines.
I'm going to ask you the same question that I literally asked Dan McCready when he was running for Congress. Mm-hmm. When, in terms of family life, and again, Governor McCrory here literally has no idea what I'm going to ask. Mm-hmm. During family life, when you would see these negative attack ads, or you would see just false information or bad headlines, how did it affect your family life?
It was devastating. Not only to my wife, but I actually had very close relatives of mine lose clients because of their relationship to me. Lose business because I was their relative. And that just tore me up. And it wasn't fair to them. And I'm seeing that now where spouses of politicians are being attacked. And I just think the family ought to be kept out of politics. But people are pretty rude to the family members. My wife was great. We'd go to Asheville, where it wasn't a real safe place for me to walk the streets. And my wife wouldn't walk with me. She'd walk on the other side of the street. And one time we ended up in the same store by accident. It was like a soap store or something. And I heard a lady come up to my wife across the room. And the lady came up and said, "Are you with him?" And looked over at me. And I heard my wife say, "I have no idea what you're talking about."
Oh, that's great.
I mean, but it was dangerous. It was very, very dangerous for my family. And again, just not... And what the bloggers say and what your phone messages say. And I see both conservatives and liberals. Liberals do more of this than conservatives, but it's brutal. It's brutal. And I my prayers are with all members. I felt sorry for the Obama family. I feel sorry for the Trump family, the Clinton family. They didn't volunteer for this. It's the person running for office that, fine, give them the grief, but don't give their family the grief.
What's the most nervous or scared, if that's the right word, that you were ever while in office, either as mayor or governor?
Well, when I was mayor, I had to introduce Billy Graham in front of 76,000 people at Bank of America Stadium. And I'd never been in front. That was like I was in my third month in office, scared to death. I wasn't scared for my public safety. I was scared to survive. You know, to introduce Billy Graham in front of over 70,000 people was, I remember just shaking out of my boots. The most nervous I've ever been was doing eulogies for two police officers here in Charlotte. I was a wreck because I was sitting next to the family. Nervous, the threats from... people as I walked out of the gates or was attacked as I'm getting in my car, or at times being on the stage and you're afraid someone's going to shoot you or a member of your staff or family. There were times like that as governor. And one time someone verbally cussed me out in front of some kids and I got very close to hitting the individual. And I saw that my security was ready to tackle him. And I woke up and went, wait a minute, I'm about to get my security. And because I was about to lose it, I was so mad because this guy said such a crude thing in front of a lot of children. And I kind of snapped out of it because I was my security was going to get in trouble. It would have all been on videotape. So,
well, I got the hardest question that you can ask any North Carolina politician, and I will tell the listening audience this, that about 95% of politicians refuse to answer this question.
What's that?
Which is better, Eastern barbecue or Western North Carolina barbecue?
I actually like the tomato-based barbecue.
So that would be Western. Okay.
Yeah, I do. But I like Eastern, although Eastern sits in your stomach for a long time when you ride in a car 4 hours after having it. The hot peppers, gosh almighty.
Well, I'm telling you, Governor, most politicians
refuse to answer
that.
I will tell you what happened in the car. My security detail and I had certain deals that we'd make after having Eastern barbecue.
Oh, that's great. I'm telling you, I'm not joking when I say most North Carolina politicians refuse to answer that question.
I think I like tomato base. It's a little easier on the stomach. The hush puppies are probably better in the East, though.
Yeah. See, there you go. See, just like a politician playing both sides. I like it.
Yeah. Whenever I was at a Carolina Duke or NC State game, they asked me who you're rooting for. I said the home team.
Right. Absolutely. All right. See, look at there. See, that wasn't too painful.
Oh, that was pretty good.
But
actually,
you had no idea. Yeah, you had no idea what I was going to ask.
No, I did not. That was fun.
Pat McCrory Show. I'm sorry, I was just going to introduce who you are, Governor.
It's Brett. I just want to thank you. It's been a great 2 hours. Thank you for your hard work. And, you know, I want to also thank, before we go to the big finish, I want to thank, you know, I know there's a debate, should teachers show up to work or not, and a union saying no because of the danger. Well, I just want to thank all those people who have to go to work, the nurses, the doctors, the police, the fire, the engineers, the manufacturing people. I mean, just the list goes, the truckers. We can't forget about the people that can't stay at home. So thanks to all them. The police officers in Charlotte and Gastonia who are dealing with riots right now. Sheriff, thanks.
Sheriff Alan Cloninger.
Yeah. I mean, just we talked about them a lot 2 months ago. They're still doing it. So let's hear from our loyal listeners on the Big Finish.
Hey, Governor. You know, maybe it ought to be the Brett and Bo show. It would be a good combination to me. Have a great weekend.
I swear, no respect.
I swear that was not my brother.
You set that up. You and Bo Thompson, I hate you both.
Hey, Pat, I tell you what, you're a smart politician, buddy. Always pull for the home team. Doesn't matter who it is.
Pat, this is the crowd from Sharon Golf Course. We still think about you and talk about you. We just encourage you to keep telling the truth and put these Democrats in their place. They're trying their best to beat a president up, and none of them can do his job as good as he can. But keep telling the truth, Pat's all we expect, and let's work together, get this country back in shape.
Amen. Sharon International Golf Course, the greatest 9 holes in golf. And, Coach, I'm thinking about you at Selwyn Pub, too, buddy.
Good morning, Governor. 2 things. First of all, appreciate you informing the WBT listeners about the objectives of the Black Lives Matter organization. Black Lives Matter has infiltrated the Major League Baseball. There was a Black Lives Matter, a BLM insignia, together with the Major League Baseball insignia.
You know what? I just found out there's a big Black Lives Matter painting on the side of the Mecklenburg County Courthouse. Big billboard, huge billboard on the side of the parking garage of a Mecklenburg County Courthouse. This is the courthouse where we've yet to find the killers of 4 black people, wonderful individuals killed on Beatty's Ford Road. Is there not an irony there? Wow.
Yes, sir. You guys had a segment the first of the week of what we would boycott with everything that's going on. And I have boycotted the Charlotte Knights. I'm not going to watch a professional sports game whatsoever. And then after I've seen the reruns or seen this with the starting of the baseball season last night and what I've seen this morning, I would definitely not watch a baseball game this whole season. I'm done.
Well, I'm not part of the cancel culture, but I will call out those members of the cancel culture who are hypocrites themselves, including some of the organizations that you just mentioned.
Good morning, Governor, and good morning, Mr. Jensen. You're doing a great job filling in for Bo.
If Trump loses
come November and the Democrats gain control of the Senate and the House and have all 3 branches, then all of the protesters are out there in the streets. Don't they realize that once we become a communist party that you can't protest no more, that they lose that freedom?
The liberal politicians don't understand they'll never satisfy the anarchist, and they're learning that in Seattle and Portland right now.
I read an article yesterday that stated that students could lose up to 35% of their reading proficiency and up to 50% of their math proficiency due to virtual learning. Looks like the children lose again.
There you go, using data and science. Can't do that unless it's health related.
Science.
Hey, can we go back?
Can
we go back to the caller that said I was doing a great job?
No.
Can we do that?
No. That was your dad.
We are the Washington football team, the mighty, mighty Washington football team. And everywhere we go, people want to know who we are. So we tell them we are the Washington football team.
That is This is one of the best calls ever. Plus, he had a good voice.
Hey there, boy and Pat. Guess what day it is? It's Friday. And if you guys don't be back first thing Monday morning, I swear to God.
You know, I got to tell Matt Halen to start playing our show on Saturday morning, at least the best of the Pat McCrory Show on Saturday morning at the same time. I think we do it Sunday afternoon. We probably ought to do it Saturday morning, don't you think, Brett?
Well, I'm kind of hurt. It kind of hurt my feelings. He thought I was Bo.
There are no hurt feelings in radio on the Pat McCrory Show. Hey, Brett, thanks for everything. Monday I'll be back with Brett Winterfield, I think.
But, Winterbull.
Bo's still on vacation. Can you believe it? It's the end of the world as we know it. But I feel fine, and I'll be back Monday, and I hope you are too.
From the QC Kinetic Studio, non-surgical solutions for chronic pain. QCKinetics.com.
WBTAM Charlotte.
WBTFM Chester.
WLNK HD2 Charlotte.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
A radio.com station.
I'm Steve Counts in the WBT News Center. Public schools in Cabarrus County will have entirely remote learning for the fall semester. That after a vote last night from the county's school board, the vote was 4-3 in favor of all remote learning, Plan C. The Cabarrus County School District says it'll reevaluate later this fall whether it can transition to a hybrid approach for the winter semester. President Trump says he still wants most schools across the country to reopen their buildings for in-person instruction this fall.
However, he said districts in virus hotspots may want to delay for a few weeks.
The decision should be made based on the data and the facts on the grounds in each community, but every district should be actively making preparations to open.
But he says if districts don't reopen, federal education dollars should be diverted.
If the school is closed, the money should follow the student. So the parents and families are in control of their own decisions. So we'd like the money to go to the parents.
The president says he wants Congress to allocate $105 billion to help schools with reopening logistics. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT with traffic presented by Bojangles. It's Bo Time. Here's Pam Warner.
We do have reports of an injury accident in the 5100 block of Mount Holly Huntersville Road. Also a hit and run taking place. The plaza at East Sugar Creek Road and Zephyr Wind Way at Idlewild Road still dealing with a wreck in that area. Hopefully that should be clearing out of the way in just a few moments. Everywhere you turn, there's a new info about COVID-19. Join Dr. Ernst with the Ask Dr. Ernst Show for a functional alternative perspective on COVID and how to protect you and your family this Saturday, 3 p.m. right here on News 1110 a.m., 99.3 FM WBT. I'm Pam Warner, WBT Traffic.
WBT News Time, 10 o'clock. It's expected that Justice Department prosecutors will file an antitrust lawsuit against Google, focused on the tech giant's